greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. This week, somebody sent me a very interesting article which was published by the left liberal Huffington Post. And I would like to read a few excerpts from this article as an introduction to this program. It says here, dated February 17, "The great glory of the goddess is a 5th century myth that offers potent teachings relevant to this day and age. The heroine of the story about the victory of good over evil is Durga, goddess of divine justice, invincible power, impenetrable compassion. Her name, Durga, means fortress and speaks to the unassailable essence of our inherent nature. Durga is also known as the remover of fear and difficulty, for she always comes to the aid of any who call on her in distress." And then it goes on to say in the article, "As we face crises on both a personal and planetary level, might we call on this ancient divine female force of compassion and courage to help us confront and transform that which threatens the well-being and contentment of all beings on this planet." In other words, we are being asked to worship this goddess, to ask her for help from our troubles. I was recently shocked when I watched the memorial service in Arizona, and no prayer to the God of the Bible was given. Instead, a Native American Indian professor spoke to the Father Sky and the Mother Earth. Influences like these are much more prevalent in this country than we might realize, and God is most certainly not amused. Listen to what he has to say in the book of Isaiah, in the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 6. And this is talking about, as it is said here, the day of the Lord, a time just prior to Christ's return. He is saying, "For you have forsaken your people," you meaning God. "You, God, have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob." Now, the house of Jacob is a reference to the modern descendants of the ancient house of Israel, specifically referring to Great Britain and the United States of America. It says God has forsaken them. Why? "Because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners." When it says pleased in the margin, it says here, it means shake hands or make bargains with the children of foreigners. It goes on to say, "Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. The land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made." It's quite an indictment. Now you say, "Oh, that's in the Old Testament, so that's no longer relevant." People have told me, "Well, you cannot preach the God of the Old Testament. That was a fierce, merciless God. We have to look at the loving God in the New Testament. That's why we have to pray to the Mother Mary." The Mother Mary? Now, we just learned about the Mother Durga. When I was a little kid, my father made my brother and me to pray each night to not just the Father, God in heaven, in the so-called Lord's Prayer, but also to pray the Hail Mary, where we started off saying, "Holy Mary, Mother of God." And we ended this prayer by saying, "Pray for us in the hour of our death." Much later, I learned that that prayer was not only useless, it was not pleasing to God at all, because, you see, Mother Mary is dead. She's not in heaven. This whole concept that she is in heaven is wrong. She was a converted Christian when she died, and she is awaiting the resurrection from the dead, as every true converted Christian who has died is awaiting the resurrection from the dead. This is a sleep out of which you have to be awakened. Paul is making this very clear in 1 Corinthians when he says, at the time of the last trumpet, we are going to be resurrected to immortality. We read this in many places in the Bible. Now, you don't have an immortal soul. Your immortal soul doesn't go to heaven when you die, because the Bible says you are the soul and the soul is mortal. And we read in the Bible that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sins, it shall die. You don't have an immortal soul. That's a pagan concept again, which was introduced into the Catholic Church. But this is not what the Bible says. The Bible also doesn't teach that we can just worship any god we want, any idol we want. The Bible says there is only one name given to man by which we can be saved, by which we can inherit eternal life, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. So you fill in the blank, whatever name you want to put in, whether it's the goddess Durga, whether it's the quote-unquote Virgin Mary, whether it's Moses, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Elijah, whether it's Muhammad, whatever name you want to put in, the Bible says none of that is going to give you eternal life. It's useless to pray to any of them. The only one you can get eternal life through is Jesus Christ. He himself said, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now we have to understand, of course, who Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ was God. He always existed as God in the God family, and the God family consists of the Father and the Son and always has consisted that way. That's why the Trinitarian concept is all wrong, because the Bible doesn't say the Holy Spirit is God or a person. The Bible says the Holy Spirit emanates from the Father and the Son. We read that the Father has given true converted Christians the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, so that we can pray to the Father saying, Abba, dear Father. And Christ said that the Father will bestow his gift of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, which he did, and all the other disciples at the time. In Acts 2 it's described. Christ said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to such a person and dwell in him. And they are doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit emanating from both the Father and the Son. But the Trinitarian concept is also wrong for the additional reason that they are denying the Messiah. They are denying Jesus Christ. How can I say that? Well, because they teach that God exists and can only exist as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you see, Jesus Christ, the Son, became flesh. John 1:14 says, the Word, the Logos, the spokesman, Jesus Christ, became flesh. He had to become flesh so that he can overcome sin in the flesh. He had to become flesh so that he could die. And he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, as he said, and he was giving this as the only sign to the Pharisees that he was the Messiah. And Orthodox Christianity has that all wrong too. They say Christ was crucified on a Friday and resurrected on a Sunday. No way you can put 72 hours in that time span. Plus which Christ wasn't resurrected on Sunday either, because Matthew 28 and verse 1 says that he was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath. Now, but the Trinitarian concept is also wrong because they deny that Christ really died. They say he was fully God and fully man, and as God you cannot die. And so therefore he was still alive. The Son was still in heaven when Christ, the human mantle, so to speak, died. Nonsense. That is the spirit of Antichrist, because John is saying later in the first and second letter that the spirit of Antichrist denies that Christ died. That Christ came in the flesh, I should say, and as such was able to die, because God cannot die. So therefore, in order to be understanding that we have to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have to understand who he was. He was flesh. He overcame sin in the flesh. Now, he had the power of the Holy Spirit of the Father within him without measure, but he still was flesh. It was possible for him to sin. He could have sinned. He didn't sin. He never sinned. Sin is a transgression of the law. Christ didn't come to do away with the law. He said, don't believe that I came to do away with the law. But Paul is saying, already at the time of the Galatians and at the time of the Corinthians, another Jesus was preached. Another gospel was preached. And it has been preached ever since. And so there's no surprise then that people get all confused by the inconsistent teachings of traditional Christianity, and they are looking for alternatives. Unfortunately, they are looking for alternatives in all the wrong places. Did you know the Bible talks about the Queen of Heaven as something we should not worship? Mary is called the Queen of Heaven. That's one of her titles. The Bible also says that he will pour out his fury on mankind because they don't turn to him. We read that in the book of Revelation in the New Testament, not only in the Old. Let me read to you what it does say. In Revelation, first of all, let's start with chapter 9. It says in verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, which God is going to pour out to wake men up, they didn't repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they didn't repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And you might think when that happens, then people would come to their senses. Well, far be it from it, because you see in Revelation 16, it goes on to say in verse 9, men were scourged with great heat and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they didn't repent and give him glory. They didn't return to God to give him glory. They looked for solutions and alternatives, which are no alternatives, in all the wrong places. My friends, If we want to turn to God, we have to understand who and what Jesus Christ was. We have to accept him as our personal Savior who died for our sins, which we can obtain forgiveness for when we repent. And we also have to understand that all these gods, all these idols, all these quote-unquote alternatives do not give us eternal life. There is only one way through which we can obtain eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, God is going to speak to mankind in a language that mankind will understand. Hopefully he is speaking to you in a language today which you can understand. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.